Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. Alec, that was a great win for Ireland last night, wasn't it?
It was indeed. It was an interesting game overall because we knew that South Africa probably weren't going to come to play seven-a-side rugby, and that's the way it transpired. A great test from Ireland's point of view because, believe you me, anybody was watching on TV or down there, it was a very, very hard game. I mean, some of the tackles and some of the hits were just going in very, very badly. And as I say, Ireland, unfortunately, have come away with probably four injuries. Hopefully not all that serious, but it looks as if a couple of them could be. I mean, it started off that way. Ireland had the perfect start, of course, with South Africa failing to really take the drop out, and Johnny Sexton had a simple penalty in front of the post to make it 3-0. But back came South Africa, and on pulling down the liner, gave Walensky a chance, and he levelled it 3-3. You know, it was nip and tuck at that stage, and then on the 20th minute, Sexton was penalised for a high tackle, and the right half, Walensky, who was not renowned as a kicker, failed with a very, very poor kick, so that left it 3-3. And it stayed like that. Unfortunately, McCluskey in the 26th minute had to go off. Whether it's an elbow dislocation or a shoulder, it's hard to know the way they strapped him up. But I have to say that McCluskey up until then had made two or three fantastic carries and won two great turnovers in the breakdown. And he really, you could see that he was really, really disappointed coming off because he had given, you know, this was his big opportunity to prove what he could do. But unfortunately, that's the way things go. There was no tries on that. There was a penalty, the exchange penalty. So at half time, they went in 6 points all. And, you know, I suppose maybe on the run of the play, because of the physicality and because there was very little movement of the ball about, that was a reasonable result. The 10 minutes after half time was where Ireland really probably won the game. 45 minutes, there was some very physical play by Ireland. They won a penalty, and the crowd were delighted when Sexton kicked the corner for the 5 metres to take on South Africa at their own game. A superb rolling maul ended up with Van der Fly at the bottom. He'd managed to keep his legs out of touch, so that took the score then to 11-6. And then you mentioned, we were talking earlier, Jameson Gibson-Park, who hadn't played since New Zealand. And on the 49th minute, probably the try of the game, well, certainly the movement of the game, Paul O'Mahony, the old warrior, who again showed what he's worth. When he's asked to do something, by heavens, he does it. He won possession on the touchline. The ball then got to Gibson-Park. He realised there was a big gap. He seared through the gap. And then good hands between him and O'Brien. You saw Hansen go over in the corner, and that made it 16-11. 16-6. And then that certainly gave Ireland the foul. But typical South Africa come back 10 minutes later when their second row, Moisten, got over to give it to make it 16-11. Still in the balance, and I say a lot of things going on the pitch, and really, really hard. The Rouge conversion hit the post from that 16-11. Sexton then extended his lane to 19-11, which made it a two-try game. And then with about 3 minutes to go, the ball was moved left. Balakoum put in an absolute superb tackle on one of the South Africans. Unfortunately, the ball bounced loose to their winger, Arendi, and he managed to get over in the corner, and that was the final score. So 19-16, you know, close. I mean, the penalty missed by South Africa, but overall, I would think that Andy Farrell will be very, very happy because, you know, that was a different type of game Ireland had to play. They had to front up to the South Africans. They did that and did it well. And I think psychologically scoring a try from a rolling maul in the liner will give them great, great confidence. I've just noted down here, unfortunately, in the first half, McCluskey's shoulder. Murray had to go off. Tag Furlong, who had an ankle problems, he got his ankle badly turned in one of the mauls, and he didn't come out in the second half. And I have to say that Johnny Sexton, come to 38 years of age, I mean, what a game he had yesterday. He didn't come off to about 3 months ago. He must have been flattened on at least four occasions. He was hit a massive tackle. He had his two knees strapped, he had his thigh strapped, and he certainly was a captain led from the front. And I would imagine that he'll not be playing any part against it in the Fiji game because they'll probably experiment. But, you know, he stayed on the field, and I think that was very, very important because he was there to marshal the troops and make sure that they got over the line. But overall, beating the world champions 19-16, and that's really what they set out to do when they kicked off at half five.
Yeah, now, like you mentioned a few players there. Which one of those kind of stood out to you the most in their performances last night?
Well, I was very impressed with Matt Hansen on the left wing. You know, the guy who came over from Australia and sort of nobody really knew who he was when he played last year. He's improved greatly. But in the air, he's tremendous at taking the ball. His work rate is excellent. And, you know, he did really well to score, to get his try. You know, I thought his game seems to get better. Each international player. I mentioned McCluskey, and not because of the Ulster connection. He had a superb 25 minutes. And, you know, he did everything right. And all of a sudden, he seems to have this unfortunate that he gets an injury when he's at the peak of his game. And, I mean, if it's a dislocated elbow or shoulder, like, that sets him out probably now for 3 months and could well give us chances of getting even the Six Nations squad out. But that's the way it goes. Conor Murray, it's hard to know what happened with Conor Murray because he took an awful bang as well. And as I said, Gibson Park a chance to come on. And he certainly, the way he made the break for that try, looked good. Up front, I mean, the front row were excellent. They gave nothing away against the power squad or whatever you want to call them. James Ryan and Tadhg Byrne in the second row, up against two massive men, certainly held their own. But the back row, O'Mahony once again, the warhorse. I mean, it's incredible how he just keeps going on and on. The harder the game, the more he loves it. And I saw there was one stage he had a few words with Delandy, the South African centre. Of course, they played together at Munster. No doubt he was reminding them who was winning at that stage. Doris and Vanderfly, I mean, tremendous. And even the subs when they came on. But overall, apart from the injuries, I think that Andy Farrell and his coaching panel will be very, very happy.
Yeah, and Farrell's happy. And then does that now send a marker down for the rest of the world to say, look, Ireland's number one for a reason?
Well, this is it. I mean, obviously the Fiji game, I think most people know going next week to see that game. I think it'll not be an Ireland A team, but it'll be all the guys, maybe some of them have played against the All Blacks on Friday night. I should mention that game. I mean, the Ireland A team against the All Blacks, a great game to watch, but I think it showed you the strength and depth that the All Blacks have. And I mean, what they did to Wales yesterday, their first team. But certainly there was a lot of young guys at Donnybrook on Friday night playing for the Ireland A team against the All Blacks. Will have had a bit of an education, and that's the only way to learn is against boys that are better than you. As you say, I would imagine maybe there'll be three or four season campaigners maybe sprinkled in among the young guys against Fiji, because obviously they must get game time, and Farrell has to see what they're like playing against a team, for instance, like Fiji, who have no real construction to their game. And I don't mean that in any insulting way. It's just that Fiji love to run the ball, and you don't know where they're going to run it from or things can happen that way. So as I say, he'll be happy about that. And then of course the big game in 2 weeks' time against Australia, who I think they just narrowly lost to France last night by a point, if my memory serves me correct. So they'll be a good team to play against, because Australia, that'll be a totally different game that they had against South Africa. South Africa we knew it was a physical confrontation. New Zealand Australia are a team that love to run the ball. And certainly, you know, that will be a game that probably will suit Ireland better, in a sense where they can use their running skills. But I think the difference between 4 years ago and now, whenever Joe Smith was in charge, Ireland are now going to the World Cup, know that they can take on the most physical side in the world and match them. And they also know, ball in hand, they're as good as anybody else. And I think you can't do much better, Owen, going to the World Cup than that. And if I finally could maybe just say to you that two local sides yesterday had very good results. In the All-Ireland League Division 2C, Oma beat Tullamore 12 points to 3. Now, prior to that game, Tullamore were lying second and Oma third. So Oma are now lying second in that AIL Division 2C, which is excellent for the Mellon Park men. They've won 3 out of 5. And their young side, which have developed over the last year, seems to be going well. Letterkenny, they were up at civil service and they won by 36-7, scoring 6 tries. Leaves them second in the Ulster Championship 3, 8 points behind Monaghan, but they have a game in hand. So, you know, if they were to beat Monaghan, there would be very little in it. So it's good to see those two sides doing so well. But I think as far as the laurels go, from yesterday and from the weekend. I think all supporters of the Boys in Green will be very, very happy and looking forward to not only the next two games, the Six Nations, and probably this time next year the World Cup. And hopefully it's not a false dawn like it has been before.